We're going to be in Jonah, chapter 4. On Saturday mornings, a few of us men get together and have a Bible study, and we're studying about the Bible and how real it is. And one of the things that came up this last Saturday was it's a focus on the family video that we're watching, and it said that there were the Bible has been translated into 2,000 languages, and one of them is Ach, Pach, Dich, Lach, Nina, Pach, Du. And in case you're wondering what that was Klingon. They said it was translated into Klingon. I couldn't believe it. Got a smile out of all of us anyway. Okay, this is Jonah chapter 4. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. Well, what is he displeased and angry about? You have to read the kind of the before and after, before this. And basically he was mad because God forgave the city of Nineveh. And they repented, and now Jonah's mad. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head and ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I am angry enough to die. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about the vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Here ends the reading.
Thank you, John. I'm going to ask John to translate that for us. You are here. Good. Children, come on down. Come on down. See, we have a couple of Packer cheerleaders here today, I see. Good. I hope they do well today. Thank you guys for coming. We've been talking about a guy named Jonah, and I wanted to talk about stubbornness. Do you guys know what stubborn means? Stubborn means you don't want to change your mind, even though you probably should. Stubborn means, I want my way and I don't care what anybody... You ever done that? We kind of throw a tantrum and you go... You ever done that? We whine and we go, no, I bet you have. Sometimes we don't stamp our feet. Sometimes we just go, I don't care, I don't want to. You ever done that one? Yeah. This guy in the story we're going to hear today is a great big person. He's a grown-up man like me, and he is so stubborn. He just... You ever get sent to your room, and you just sit in your room going... like that? I hope not. I have. And Jonah, oh my goodness, this guy... He was so stubborn. God walks up to him and says, Jonah, what are you doing? You don't talk to me. I just sad and angry, and leave me alone. Ever done that one? Yeah, good. You guys are so perfect. I bet your problem, you never have problems. Oh, they're all pointing at the sister. Look at that. No. All right. Can't do that. We all got that in us. Well, in the sermon today, we're going to talk about this guy named Jonah and how stubborn he was. And here's the neat part of the sermon. God loved him anyway. God loved him anyway. He said, Jonah, you're being stubborn. Don't talk to me. Jonah, do you have any right to do this? And Jonah knew the answer was no. He was just being mean. And he was talking very bad. Almost like you can sometimes talk bad. You ever talk bad to your mom or dad? Once in a while, we get really kind of mean with our mouth. Well, Jonah was mean with his mouth. And he was selfish. And he was stubborn. Here's what I want you to remember, and make sure the big people in your family know. God loved Jonah even when he was stubborn. One more time. God loved Jonah even when he was stubborn. Now, we're going to talk about that guy in the sermon, okay? You listen for that, all right? Here we go. You get a bag of goodies unless you're allergic to flour. Then I have two candies behind there. There you go. Grab one. They're all the same. What's that? They're all the same. There you go. Oh, you allergic? He's allergic, isn't he? Which one? Yeah.
Wait, there's flour in here.
For my kids who are allergic there. Here we go. There you go. Well, you can have them both. Give that to mom. Huh? Yeah. You're allergic to flour? Here we go. No, he's not. Bringing it home. Jonah. What a character. Can you imagine? God was nice and Jonah's upset. Now, what he's really upset about is not that God is nice, but he's upset that God is nice to people that Jonah doesn't want him to be nice to. It's kind of like when the rain falls on your yard and waters your plants and grass, and it also waters the mean lady or man down the block. And it also, you understand, that's that kind of feeling multiplied times many times over. We get to this chapter, and everything about this book has a different flavor to it. Because for the first time, you understand the story of Jonah is about Jonah. It's not really about Nineveh. It's about that stubbornness that he's demonstrated. It's about the details, the emotions, the inconsistency so deep in this man's heart that he literally is just chafing at God's mercy. He wants to fight it in every way he possibly can. And so as you start to unravel this fourth chapter, and John was correct when he pointed out there that it said when God changed his mind and decided not to punish them, that Jonah becomes greatly displeased. Greatly upset, greatly. It says exceedingly. Oh, God, I knew you were going to do this. And what Jonah does is he actually goes, God, I knew you were going to do this, and I knew this about you even when we started off way back home. And he says, our dilemma, my problem with you, God, is you are so nice. And you're looking at Jonah going, is it possible for someone to stand before the Lord and be that blind to themselves? Yes. Look at yourself in the mirror. Right? We're all capable of it. There's a part of our personality, a part of our character, that we can just literally not see it. Inevitably, It's kind of like one of those moments when you get an aha moment, and suddenly for the first time, and you've now been 18, 20, 40, 60, 80 years old, and you finally go, oh my goodness, I'm a jerk. Right? Oh my goodness, that was really insensitive. Oh my goodness, I should be more caring, or just anything. All of a sudden it hits you and you start to go, oh my. And here you're watching this Jonah character, and you can actually see him, if you can picture him a little bit in your mind, and you can just see him. Oh God, I can't believe you did that. You are just a jerk because you're so nice. And you kind of want to go, Jonah, don't you get this? This is about you, Jonah. This is about what's wrong in your heart. This is about your unrepentance. This is the older brother in the prodigal son. Remember, the prodigal son is not the young son. The prodigal son is the old one. The prodigal may have left and done something totally stupid and wasted his money and been a total idiot, but it says he came to his senses. And he repented, and he came back home, and he said, Dad, I don't even deserve to be called your son. You know, just treat me as you would a servant or a slave, and let me just come and eat and participate like a slave from here on out. And the father refused that, and he wraps his arms around the kid, and he pulls him in, and he says, my son has come home. But the real prodigal then is that older brother who will not receive the younger son. The real prodigal is the older brother who will not join in the celebration. The father has to come out to him because he's too, here's the word, kids, he's too, stubborn, good. The older brother is just plain too stubborn to forgive that younger brother. And he is angry at the father. And he's angry at the father because of the father's kindness and generosity. He's angry at the father when he shouldn't be angry at the father, but he is. And so into the middle of this situation, we've got Jonah living it out in concrete reality, and he is embittered at God because he's shown mercy to this particular group of people. And then he goes back and he said, I knew you were just going to do this. That's why I was doing my thing, because it's really your fault that I left. Another great characteristic of us sometimes. It's really God's fault that I'm miserable. Right? If my basement wouldn't have filled with that stuff, I would have had a better week. If my dishwasher wouldn't have broken down, then I'd have had a better week. And it must be your fault, God, because you can make dishwashers work, or you can make sewers go in the other direction if necessary. So it really is your fault. You understand how this works? We've all been down that path. We create a little bit more personally ourselves, but we've been down that path and that reality. And so Jonah continues to go, that's why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew, and I marked these. I love these things. This is Jonah preaching to himself with his ears closed. I think pastors are capable of doing that, by the way. I bet you've done it a few times. Ever disciplined your child, but you don't take your own advice? Ever told somebody else how they should live, act, and behave, but you don't want to follow it yourself? I had one of those, but it's too personal to share with you right now, so another day. I knew you are, look at this, five things. You're gracious. You're compassionate. You're slow to anger. You're abounding in love. And you relent from sending calamity. He knows who he's talking to. And he's angry at him for that very reason. Like somehow Jonah still hasn't got the idea that God prepared a fish for him. Jonah still hasn't gotten the idea that there's something wrong in Jonah's heart, in Jonah's head, not in the prodigal Ninevites who are so wicked and so evil and so compromised. They're doing all the evil things they're doing, but at least they came to their senses. Jonah will not do that. And so it goes on and says, but the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? If you read it in the Hebrew, it's more along those lines like, how's that anger working for you, Jonah? It really is. Is this anger a good thing? Is this appropriate, Jonah? You think this anger is the right attitude? Is that really what you think? And here's God talking to him, showing Jonah mercy and compassion and tenderness and grace. And he's going, Jonah, is that really, you don't want me to be that way? You know, let me start with you. But Jonah is just, I mean, Jonah's brain is filled with himself. Jonah's ears can only hear Jonah. Jonah's heart is full of Jonah. It is just a characteristic. Once we get plugged up with our own junk, we have very little room to hear the Holy Spirit or the movement of God in our lives, and we just shut him out in every possible way. And here, it's just so blatant, so visible in terms of this whole behavior. And he goes on from that thought, and he begins to add it. He says this, Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city, and there he made himself a booth or a shelter. And he sat in the shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord, I want you to notice this three more times. Then the Lord God provided. Now think about this. He knew where Jonah was going to do when he left. And he prepared the fish ahead of time to rescue Jonah and hopefully change his heart. Jonah does all the things that Jonah's going to do, and Jonah goes out under this place where he builds his shelter, and there's this vine, and God has prepared this plant for Jonah to give shade. And it was done beforehand. He knew where he was going to sit. He knew his bitterness. He knew his disappointment, his anger. He knew everything about Jonah's attitude, actions, and behavior. And still God prepares this plant for Jonah. Watch what goes on next, all right? The vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade to his head to ease his discomfort. Jonah was so happy about the vine. Oh God, it's so nice I can at least sit in the shade and watch you be merciful to these crummy people. Can you just see this? I'm going, but at dawn the next day, I like this one too. Here it comes again. God provided a grub, a worm. Something was working on this vine, and apparently it succeeded at taking the vine out because it cut the water flow to the large branches with the leaves and everything else that had grown up. And suddenly it says this, which chewed the vine so that it withered. Now, you know, in a hot sun, plants, if they wither and they start going, you trim them, they go down really fast. And it goes, it withered. When the sun rose, look at this next one. God provided a scorching east wind. Now, if you know where Nineveh is located, east wind means it's coming off the desert. It's coming off the barren Arabian desert there, and it's blowing right straight over Jonah. So God provides the plant. God provides the worm. God provides the scorching wind. And here it comes. It says, a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. This guy wants to die again. Have you ever heard such a whiner? I wish I were dead. Life's so hard. I wish I were dead. You know, I kind of go, yeah, anyone like that you meet? You kind of go, shut up. You know, maybe God will give you a wish. Knock it off. But all right. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. Now, reality says this. People do back themselves in these corners. All right? People get to that point when they lose a job and they become absolutely convinced, if I don't have a job, my whole worth is gone. Or they lose their house. I go, take away my house, take away everything I own. Have I diminished in value before God? Have I ceased to be the father of my children? Have I lost any of the intellect and skill and ability that God has given me over the how many years I've been alive? Everything I have still there, that opportunity to work or not work doesn't determine whether I have worth unless I allow my mind to wrap itself so tightly around it. I just wish I were dead. And I kind of go, you got a wife, you got children, you got your life, you got, what are you doing? You kind of just grab this person and say, stop. But that Jonah spirit is real. People get into that mode. And here's Jonah, and he is still complaining. But the Lord said to him, now here's the teaching moment, right? He goes, you're really concerned about this vine, right? Though you did not tend it or make it grow. You had nothing to do with it. You're just reaping the benefit of it being here, which I provided for you, which made that available for you. And he goes, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. Now, the overnight is really, it's like we say, here today, gone tomorrow. It's a cliche. It could be growing up that fast. There are certain plants that do grow rapidly. And I'm not going to fight that. But I do want you to know it's a Hebrew colloquialism, as they would say. And it just means here today, gone tomorrow. You're going to let this vine, which is here today and gone tomorrow, be a thing that you're going to focus on. And he goes, it says, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who can't tell their right hand from their left. And he goes, Jonah, have you got this priority in your life mixed up? Here's a city full of these people. Jonah is not listening. Jonah is not with God. Jonah is not understanding his moment of grace. Jonah is embittered at God because of God's tenderness and love. And in the middle of that situation, God is still ministering to him. And here's what I thought was fascinating. God ministered to Jonah in preparing the fish. God ministered to Jonah in preparing the plant. God ministered to Jonah through the wind and the sun and the heat. And even the grub that killed the plant. So you begin to understand that it isn't just in the good thing that God ministers and works. Sometimes it's in the middle of, I'm going to flood your basement with this stuff. What are you going to do about it? Feel sorry for yourself? What are you going to do about it? You understand? When your life gets in whatever mode or situation that is, don't just assume that God is only going to talk to me through that which is good or proper or beneficial. God can speak just as loudly to me through that situation that is difficult and challenging or whatever the case might be. And that becomes the message that God says to you and me. Obviously, God wants you and I not to follow in the footsteps of Jonah. Don't allow yourself to become embittered because God is gracious. God, I just don't know why you let these people go on. I don't know why you let this country go on. I don't know why you let these circumstances go on. God, how do you let those people go on? They just shot a little 5-year-old girl in her grandpa's arms. You ever gotten to that mode? How can you possibly love those kind of people? God begins to whisper and says, what kind of people do you think you are? Well, at least I've never done that. Right? We get that degree of righteousness. Well, compared to them, my degree of righteousness is so much higher. And Jonah wrapped himself in that, and he said, well, of course God should provide a plant to govern me and bring me shade, because that's the least I deserve, because I am his servant, because I prophesied, because I came to Nineveh. And Jonah just does not understand that God is going to be gracious because God himself is gracious. He can say it with his mouth, and he recites it. God, I knew you were like this. You were gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love, and a God who relents from sending the catastrophe he was going to send. I knew you were like that. And he said, you know, Jonah, you don't like me, do you? I kind of step away and I go, what have you really got to complain about? Where's your Nineveh? You know, in that moment, should I complain that my house got the sewer back up this week? I guess so. How much? You understand? Why is it any different when somebody else gets their sewer backed up? And when somebody else has this happen to them, why is it somehow worse when it happens to me? I get into that Jonah mode myself so easily, and I slip into it because I just feel like, God, where were you when, didn't you watch? Didn't you know? You knew what was going to happen. Are you too busy up there to remember me? Don't you know who I am? I'm a pastor. Wait, you didn't have to laugh that quickly. I guess you know me too well. Right? But I'm a Christian, God. Why are you, you see? And you get your own little list, and I go, that is so immature. It's so self-centered. It's so arrogant. It has no power of spirit in it. It has nothing of the presence of God. And you begin to go, thank you, God, that I had a telephone, that I could call for help, that I had the ability to get the help I needed. Thank you, God, that you watched over me even in the middle of that. Thank you, God, that it wasn't any worse than it was. You understand? How you walk through the circumstances of your life determine whether you're going to walk with them under the graciousness, kindness, and goodness of God, or you're going to walk with them following your set of system and your perception of how things should or shouldn't be going. Rather than learning the lessons, it doesn't take much to become this Jonah where God prepares this and prepares that, and he's tapping on your shoulder going, do you see anything yet? Are you getting this yet? And here I am, feisty and angry because of this momentary, what? Excursion into junk in my basement? And I step back and I go, brothers and sisters around the world this week lost their homes. Brothers and sisters around the world this week lost their families. What am I doing feeling like somehow God's got to do things my way? What am I doing thinking that my moment is not now or the next day or the next day? How do I get myself into this Jonah attitude that somehow I'm angry with God because of his kindness and goodness? And into the middle of this, God steps and he calls us out of that. And he invites us and he finishes it off. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Jonah, there are so many little people there, they don't even know their right hand from their left yet. And I know, by the way, that still goes on in high school. Left on, oh, there's my left hand. No, wait, no. So I still see kids doing that. They hold that, so see, you get the L. And this way, it's the backwards L. So I know this is my left hand because I go, here's how it smacks the teacher between the eyes. God, you don't understand what these kids are like to teach some days. This kid's dance. She's a brick. He is such a pighead. He's so arrogant. Why don't you zap him? Don't you think like that? Come on. Come on. I bet you pick on a boss or two. And we actually walk down that path. And what's really sad about it, we start to feel justified. And I go, God, is it that simple to become like Jonah? Yes. And what am I upset about? God, how did you let this kid in my room so you could love him? Oh, shoot. You mean I got the problem? Duh. Right? Isn't that what you don't want to hear? The problem isn't this jerk of a kid that you can label and come up with every excuse under the sun, or the boss or the person or whoever it is that's doing what they're doing to you. The problem is your heart will not change. There's a stubbornness that you hold on to, a self-justification. And God looks at you and grabs you and says, Jonah, I love this kid. Oh, that's right. I went to the cross for this kid. When was the last time you went to bed poor? I don't think I ever went to the bed poor, Lord. Do you know this kid doesn't even know where his father is? Do you know this kid had his cousin killed a year ago? Do you know this kid has never been taught how to be a man by anyone because he's been raised by women all around him? What are you angry at, Bruce? Why can't my life be easier? Right? Why can't you make a little vine over my head and keep me cool? Right? And God whispers at me and goes, I am. All right? And I go, this is us. This is a struggle. And God's rescue is, don't follow this path. Don't become like Jonah. If I want to show mercy, if I want to bring tenderness, and I promise to give you both the strength and ability, if I've prepared you for this moment, and I've prepared this moment for you, then you step into it. And God calls us to that so that we grow up in empathy and understanding and we start walking with integrity. I never want God to be less compassionate, less gracious, more quick to anger, or not abounding in love, or not a God who relents from sending calamity, because I will never make it. But I want God to help me not to be a man who complains about those very qualities in God for others. Pray with me. Lord, I love you. Why is it, Lord, that we can get so quick to judge a Jonah and yet have those same characteristics dancing around in our own hearts? I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that by your mercy and your grace, you would just speak to our hearts today. I pray that you'd set us free. I pray that you would just call us in the middle of our Ninevehs to really demonstrate love. I pray that you'd recreate my heart, recreate my mind, recreate my spirit, so that in the middle of whatever child I'm dealing with, whatever situation I'm dealing with, that I would reflect a merciful, gracious, kind, and patient God. Lord, I love you. Let that love and that grace and that mercy that saved me be poured out into my heart to share with others. And I pray that in your name. Amen.